The theme for Lent at Oakden this year is love. And when I saw that the lectionary for today mixes a First Testament reading on the Ten Commandments with a New Testament reading about Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple, I was a little concerned about how that fit with the love theme. Then I noticed that this story of the money changers is featured in all four of the Gospels, and I figured that that meant I probably shouldn't just set that aside to find something that was easier to talk about. And it turns out that this story is actually much more about love than it might seem to be at first glance. So the passage that was just read is from the Gospel of John. And in John, the story about Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple is really early in the book. It's in chapter 2. So Jesus has just called the disciples. He's gone up to Cana to the wedding where he turned the water into wine. And then he immediately goes and cleanses the temple. So that's the John version. The other three Gospels place the story much later in time. So they put it during Holy Week. And in the three other Gospels, Jesus has already come into Jerusalem. He's ridden the donkey. People have said their hosannas. And then he cleanses the temple. And then just a few days later is the crucifixion. So it's possible that Jesus just made a habit of doing this. But in three of the four stories, the gospel is used to explain why Jesus was brought up on charges of claiming to be the Son of God. Because he's using that language about my Father's house. He's claiming with his language to be the King of the Jews. And so placing the story at this point in Holy Week is a way of showing how Jesus is fulfilling scriptural prophecies. If we really want to get a complete story of what happened, we can combine the details from all four Gospels. So here's the way it goes if we assume that this is Holy Week and we look at the complete picture. So it's Passover time, and Jesus and his disciples have traveled to the temple at Jerusalem. The outer court of the temple was a place that was open to everybody. So Jews and Gentiles could mix there. And that's where Jesus goes and encounters the money changers and also the people who are selling the sheep and the cattle and the doves. So if you were living in Jerusalem at the time and you wanted to make a sacrifice at the temple, there were two things that you had to do. So first you had to go and you would take your Greek or your Roman coins and you had to go to money changers who would exchange them for Jewish or Tyrian coins because you had to have shekels as currency at the temple. So you pay that and you pay your little exchange fee to get the coins. And then once you've got those shekels that are the currency of the temple, then you can purchase animals for sacrifice. And you have to buy those animals at the temple. You can't just go to your own flock or your own herd and find an animal and bring it with you. You have to buy an animal that's sold in this outer court. So cattle and sheep were for rich people. And poor people who couldn't afford a whole big four-legged animal could instead buy a dove. That was the less pricey option. But the issue here was that the business at the temple was a monopoly. So the exchange rates could be really unfavorable and nobody could do anything about it. You had to have the right kind of coins if you want to make your sacrifice. And then the sacrificial animals were being sold at a premium too because you couldn't bring one from home. You had to buy them right there for whatever price they were charging. So both the money changers and the animal sellers at the temple were making money off of religious devotees who were coming to make a sacrifice at the temple. So Jesus is very aware of these dynamics, and he grabs some cords and he ties them together to make a long rope that he can wave around to drive the sellers and the money changers out of the temple courts. And when he does this, the sheep and the cattle are running loose. And then he goes to the money changers and he flips over the tables and the coins go scattering everywhere. And Jesus turns to the dove sellers and says, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace." So it's a chaotic scene. You've got the people and the animals scattering and everybody's stopping to see what Jesus is doing. And Jesus isn't letting anybody carry merchandise through the temple court, so he's disrupting the business of the temple. And it is a business that's there. It's not really about religion at the outer courts, it's a business. And then he starts what the Gospels call a teaching session. And this is where he says, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." And people are hanging on to his words. This is, you know, very interesting after all this chaos to hear what he's teaching. So this isn't a picture of someone who's just raging out of control. It might not seem like a story of love, but it's also not a story of rage or anger, because people typically don't teach if they're just raging. Well, maybe some people do, but most people who teach typically are not raging out of control. So Jesus was expressing that he's not happy with the way these businesses are operating in the temple, but he takes the time to explain why he's not happy. And he does that with two scripture references that the people in the temple that day would have been very familiar with. So the first passage that he quotes says that the money changers are making the temple a den of robbers. And that phrase, a den of robbers, is something that comes out of Jeremiah 7. So Jeremiah prophesies against false religion by focusing, so the false religion that he was saying, Jeremiah, was that people would make regular appearances at the temple, and it was more about showing up than about actually honoring God. And so Jeremiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'But we're at the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. Here we are at the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and you deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and you do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors, forever and ever. But look, you're trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, 'We're safe.' Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? I've been watching, declares the Lord." So we hear the Ten Commandments summarized there, that back in Jeremiah's time, people were coming to the temple and they were saying, "Well, we're checking off that box. We've shown up," but they weren't following the Ten Commandments. And so Jeremiah was calling them out on that. Jeremiah 7 is a call to holiness. And that's what Jesus was reminding people of when he was saying, "Look, you people who are making money in the temple by taking advantage of poor people are not staying true to your religion. And beyond that, some of you are breaking the Ten Commandments. You're worshiping idols. You're stealing from the vulnerable. You're overcharging women and the poor who are seeking to honestly honor the Lord, to worship the Lord. You're interfering with that." The other quotation that Jesus uses after he flips over the tables of the money changers is one where Jesus says, "My house will be called a house of prayer." And that is a phrase that's from Isaiah 56. And here's what that passage says. "This is what the Lord says, 'Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, who keeps his hands from doing any evil. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and who holds fast to my covenant, these people I will bring to my holy mountain and I will give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So the phrase that Jesus uses at the temple isn't just, "My house will be called a house of prayer." And it's also not, "My house will be called a house of prayer and not a house of commerce," although that's a reasonable interpretation based on his actions. The actual phrase that he's referring to is, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So Jesus is welcoming everybody to worship the Lord, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor. He's saying that anyone who follows those Ten Commandments, and the commandment that Jesus said of love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the connection between the Ten Commandments and the cleansing of the temple. It really is all about those who follow the commandments are expressing love, love for God and love for neighbor. So how do we love God and love our neighbors today? For guidance on that, we can still turn to the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments are old, but they're 100% valid. So we love God when we don't worship other gods. We love God when we don't make anything in our lives more important than God, when we don't use God's name in a bad way, and when we set aside a day every week for worship and for rest. And we love other people according to the Ten Commandments, when we respect our parents, when we don't engage in violence against other people, when we're faithful to our families, and when we don't steal, we don't lie, and we aren't greedy. So the cleansing of the temple is actually a passage about love. Jesus wanted to make God's house a house of prayer for all nations, a holy place for all people who love God and who love their neighbors. Lent is one of the times in the annual church calendar when we're invited to slow down and to examine our individual lives. This is a time to identify areas in which we're not living in accordance with the teachings of Jesus. And it's a time to make the changes we need to get back on solid ground. So it's a good season to ask some tough questions of ourselves, like, are we putting God first? Are we making idols of anything? Are we setting aside Sabbath time? Are we honoring our elders? Are we being faithful and honest? And are we loving our neighbors? And Lent is also a time when we can ask a similar set of questions about whether the church is living up to its ideals. Is the church our temple for today? Is it operating as it should? Is the church fully accessible to everybody? Are we looking out for the well-being of everybody in our church family and not privileging some people over others? Are we attuned to the needs of the local community and our neighbors? Are we creating any barriers to welcoming new people into our congregation? And can we truly say that this church is a house of prayer for all nations? In other words, Lent is a good time to ask if everyone is welcome here, and to ask ourselves individually and collectively if we're expressing the love that we're called to pour out into the church and the world. This should be a house of prayer for all people, for all people who come through our doors, and all of those people who come through our doors should know that we're Christians by our love.